Let me give some background to these chapters from Exodus, which I'll focus on in the sermon today, so chapters 25 to 27. So thousands of years ago, the Lord God chose Israel as his people, his nation, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to the world. The Lord sought to show that the Israelites were distinct, holy to the Lord, by giving them laws to obey and by dwelling with them. He decided to dwell amongst them in a tent that was specifically created for him by the Israelites. So, on the screen is an illustration of it. It'll come up. So, in chapters 25 to 27 of Exodus, it focuses on the Lord explaining to Moses what this tent is to look like and the materials that will be used. This tent, a sanctuary for the Lord, is known as the tabernacle. And as you can see, there are two rooms in there, if you can sort of get your head into the way it's designed. There's two rooms in the tent, and there's a courtyard. And I'll explain more about this later. But a tent was particularly chosen because at this time Israel were moving through the desert, and they only had tents for dwellings. Now, each of the items in the tabernacle have symbolism attached to them. We won't delve into the symbolism of all of them today, but I have found that as you keep reading the Bible, you find more answers to why certain things happen in the Bible. So rather than reading all the chapters today, Isaac's going to read some of the first chapter for us. But before he does that, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us the way of your decrees, that we may follow it to the end. Give us understanding so that we may keep your law and obey it with all our heart. Direct us in the path of your commands, for there we find delight. Turn our heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn our eyes away from worthless things. Preserve our life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to us, Father, your servants, so that we may be feared and take away the disgrace we dread, for your laws are good. How we long for your precepts, and in your righteousness preserve our lives. Father, these moments are precious to hear your words and to consider how we live in response. Please give us a transformed life in response to hearing your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Exodus 25, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Have them make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold moulding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and the other cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of one piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking towards the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law that I will give you. There, above the cover between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites."
So I was quite touched last Sunday when we were singing our final song together, and I saw the children come running through the door. The children were looking for their parents, and they held out their arms, and each parent picked up their child and looked at him or her and smiled. And each parent started talking and expressing interest in their child's life. That was a special moment. Well, today I want us all to be persuaded and convinced that we were created by a loving God who wants to be present among us. God desires to be close to us, to share life with us, and to have an intimate and close relationship with us. He wants to know us, dwell with us, and he wants us to enjoy being with him. He wants us to eagerly run to be in his presence because he is worthy of our complete attention. And I want you to be captivated by our Father's love for us. In the passage today from Exodus chapter 25 to 27, the Lord wants to be amongst his people, the Israelites. Now there is a difference between Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, and God's people now who follow and trust Jesus Christ, but there are also similarities. And it will make the connection between how all of these details about a tabernacle for God apply to people today and to us as the church of Jesus Christ. But I want us to first grasp what is happening for the Lord God to command his people to make a tabernacle for him, a tent for him to dwell amongst his people. So I see the primary message today is this: the Lord God desires to dwell with his people. And to give us a framework for understanding the passage, I'll draw our attention to the tabernacle, which is fit for a king. And then by way of expanding the passage further, I'll then tease out three characteristics of God. Firstly, the Lord is the faithful king, and then the Lord is holy, and the Lord is love. And I'll leave us an application for our lives. Now, I won't be meticulously expounding each sentence today, but I will draw on the passage we have before us. So if you have a Bible with you, please have the passage in front of you. But firstly, the Lord describes a sanctuary fit for a king. Now, has anyone here met a king or queen face to face? You could just by show of hand if you have. Just one? Well, I wonder how you felt. We all know that one does not just waltz into a throne room of a king or queen. One is invited. I've never been before a fair king or queen near their throne, but I've understood that it is an honour and privilege to be there. So now I just want you to imagine something. Please close your eyes. Imagine yourself in a throne room of a king. Imagine a king sitting on his throne, surrounded by his people. And then just consider this question: who is sitting on that throne? Now you can open your eyes. We in Exodus, the Lord describes his throne room. We learn in chapter 25, verses 1 to 2, that the Lord wants Moses to collect an offering from the people for this tabernacle. And then in verses 3 to 7, the material that is described is material for that's fit for a king and his throne room. One thing you can see is how much is made of gold or overlaid with gold. In chapter 25, verse 11, overlay it with pure gold. In verse 13, overlay them with gold. Verse 17, make an atonement cover of pure gold. I could say more of other things that are made of gold. All the furnishings in a tabernacle are to be made of gold or overlaid with gold. The rest of the tabernacle, including the courtyard, is made of different materials. Notice the importance of this. From chapter 25, verse 22, the Lord will dwell over the atonement cover to meet with his people and command them from there. And the people will go to the altar to offer sacrifices in chapter 27, verses 1 to 8. The atonement cover is made of pure gold, where God will dwell, but the altar is overlaid with bronze, or made with bronze, where the people will offer sacrifices to atone for their sin. There is a distinction. Gold is for the king's dwelling. The Lord receives the best. That is only right for the king. Do you picture God as king? Do you think of him as your ruler? Well, the Lord is king for the Israelites. And is the Lord still king now? Well, yes. But more specifically, we have Jesus Christ as king over all people now. In Exodus, the Lord God is king, and he desires to dwell with his people in a sanctuary fit for the King of Glory. Now let's consider three characteristics of the Lord which the passage reveals to us. Firstly, the Lord is the faithful king. So from chapter 25, verse 16, we learn that in the ark the Lord wants his people to make is to go to tablets of the covenant law, which the Lord will give Moses. The throne of God on earth was to be over the covenant law. Central to the Lord is covenant faithfulness. The Lord will keep to his covenant. We heard last week from Exodus in chapter 19, verse 5 to 6, these words. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God is faithful to his covenant, and he wants his people to be faithful to the covenant law, which means obedience to God and his laws. God's sanctuary is a daily reminder of God's covenant-keeping faithfulness as he comes to meet his people over the atonement cover with the covenant law in the ark. And he will command his people from that place. The covenant God made is formed out of his promises. So this is a reminder to all on earth at that time that God is for his people and they are to obey the covenant law he will give them to be his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now God is still faithful today. So if you believe God to be faithful and that he keeps promises, then you need to keep being reminded of God and his faithfulness. We are sustained by God's life-giving word. We need to know God's command so we live under his rule. So keep learning God's covenant law. Learn from the stories in the Old Testament and of God's faithfulness. Keep knowing God our Father and talk to him about what you're learning of him. Our God and Father enjoys hearing us pray to him. Let's now consider the holiness of God. The Lord is holy. Now this tabernacle for the Lord also has distinct sections to it. We learn from chapter 26, verses 30 to 35, that the tabernacle includes a most holy place and a holy place. The Ark of the Covenant Law is in the most holy place. This is the place where the Lord would come to meet with his people over the atonement cover to command his people. The atonement cover is one of the many symbols offered in this tabernacle as reminders to Israel about their situation and who God is. In chapter 25, verse 17, make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And in verse 22, there above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. This is an atonement cover because the Lord desires to be with his people, but the Israelites will need to obey his instructions for the Lord to meet with him, for the Lord to meet with them. The Lord is compassionate and will withhold punishment of death if they follow his instructions. So this is a serious matter. The Lord has decided to come to Israel and dwell amongst them, but his holiness separates himself from them because if he appeared to them without restraint, then they would all die. This is the holiness of our everlasting Father. The Lord, out of love for his people, makes a barrier between his presence and them. So where the Lord is to dwell is the most holy place. So this means that that place is a dangerous place for humans to go. Dangerous because the holiness of God is his purity, perfection and goodness. The Lord always does what is good, right and excellent. But humanity, we falter at this. We do not always live up to our own expectations and certainly not God's expectations. Though this is true, God is still offering something to his people Israel so that he can dwell amongst them. The Lord is kind to his people Israel by being very clear with Moses. In chapter 25, verses 8 to 9, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Exactly like the pattern I will show you. So this tabernacle not only draws our minds to a God who is faithful as King, but also the holiness of the Lord. What do you imagine of the Lord God when you think of him as holy? God could destroy us at any moment, yet he gives us life to enjoy. We are not deserving of anything. Yet in our Heavenly Father's loving kindness and grace, he gives us food to eat, friends to enjoy life with, and family to grow up with. We cannot stand before him on our own, because when we are left to our own desires, we would seek to rule our own lives apart from his rule. But we can thank God that we are not left to ourselves, just as Israel were not left to themselves. God acts for us. We have a loving God. The Lord is love. Now, why does the Lord decide to describe a sanctuary for himself to Moses? Why does he show interest in Moses and Israel? Well, this can only be understood through knowing the beginning of the story. God made a beautiful world, and then he made man and woman to be rulers of the world under him and his authority. The Lord made man and woman in his image to be like him. This means humanity are to display faithfulness, holiness, and love. God put the man Adam and the woman Eve in the Garden of Eden. He made for them and he dwelt with them. The Maker of all things was amongst his creation, walking with them. There were no barriers. God in his holiness was with his people, and his authority was gracious and compassionate. Sadly, humanity rebelled from him. And this innate rebelliousness of humanity existed with Israel and still exists today. This rebellion to God is called sin, and sin was amongst the Israelites. The first humans rebelled, so they needed to be sent away from God. And Israel, well, they were still far from God, though he came to them. God, in his love, is desiring a sanctuary for himself to dwell amongst his people Israel. So what does this all mean? Well, we were made to be in the presence of our Maker. The Lord had experienced sin after sin of Israel and the sin of the rest of the world, but the Lord keeps his promises. He is faithful. He made a promise back when man and woman first sinned that a descendant of Eve would crush the head of the serpent, the creature that deceived Eve into disobeying God. And this promise is a loving promise. This is God promising that one day he will dwell with his people again, though they had just turned away from his love. And God is relentless in his love for his people. What God is doing for Israel in describing a sanctuary for himself is giving them a taste of home. Israel are meant to be with God in his land, at rest, just like the first humans were in God's land. The Lord is leading them back to himself. Now, not necessarily a surprise, but we don't have this tabernacle now. And you might be thinking, why is that? Well, this tabernacle was for Israel, God's nation on earth that he had chosen. But this just foreshadowed something in someone else. In chapter 25, verse 9, "Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." The word pattern is there to draw our minds to this tabernacle being only a model of the real thing. The complete presence of God is in heaven. The Lord sought to draw Israel's attention to his desire to be amongst his people as he was in Eden. But the Lord also had greater plans. God's plan was to lead us towards seeing the wonder and beauty of his Son who came to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but through Jesus, the wonder and beauty of a new creation with God, our Heavenly Father, at rest. We are sinful, yet God our Maker sent his Son in flesh, though he was perfect to be amongst humanity. Israel could only have the Lord's presence contained in a tent, and then later a temple, but God sent Jesus to be amongst his people. God became man because he is faithful to his covenant, he is holy, and he is love. God's mercy is vast. You could say Jesus tabernacled among us. Jesus dwelt among us. So therefore, Jesus is the greater tabernacle. The Lord said he would dwell over the atonement cover in the tabernacle so that through sacrifices of animals, the Israelites could have God dwell among them. But we have one who gave himself as an atoning sacrifice once and for all. And through his atoning sacrifice, we can have a place secure in the heavenly realms now and God's Spirit dwelling in us. And the Lord Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that through turning away from our sin and trusting in him, we can have union with him and therefore belong to his church on earth. Jesus is the one who fulfilled the promise back in the Garden of Eden to crush the head of the serpent. Now we await Jesus' return to judge the world. And after judgment, all Jesus' brothers and sisters will join him and his Father in the new creation, at home with our Maker. We are invited into King Jesus' throne room for eternity, complete, at rest, perfect in God's sight. Now, Halloween was yesterday, and that focuses on death and darkness. Yes, there is a light-hearted aspect to it with sweets, lollies and dressing up, but it is about death and darkness. Jesus came so we could have rest and eternal life. Now, why didn't God just send Jesus before Israel? Because Jesus is obviously better. Well, God's plans are good, and we need to know that there was no other way for eternal life with God. We also need to know that for God to send his own Son into the world is no light decision. When God our Father sent his Son, Jesus, to be atoning sacrifice, that must have been immensely hard. Consider with me now what a taste of home is for us. Israel had a tabernacle, but what do we have? A taste of home for us is when we gather as the church on earth. When we meet together to edify one another and worship our King Jesus. When we hear God's word, share in the Lord's Supper, and baptize those who belong in the church of Jesus Christ. This is a taste of home. God's Spirit is amongst us. We are the body of Christ on earth. Do you enjoy a taste of home? I hope you do, but I recognise you might not always feel you do. I don't always feel like I'm enjoying church, but the more I desire God, the more I find myself enjoying his purposes for my life. Our Heavenly Father wants to dwell with us. He wants to be with us without any barriers. Do you want to be with him? Through turning away from living for ourselves and trusting in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life ahead of us in the presence of our God. Now, how can we live in response today? Well, firstly, know God and his covenant law. We learn of a Heavenly Father from the Bible. Such a privilege to be able to wake up each morning and learn more of my Creator, Sustainer and Friend. Secondly, out of love for God and one another, let's gather together with joy and reverence. I want church to be the most exciting and delightful part of the week. Let's be delighted to hear and proclaim God's word, share in the Lord's Supper, and aim to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's seek to use the spiritual gifts the Spirit gives us in experiencing a taste of home together as we worship God our Father. And finally, Our holy God wants to dwell with us. So are you willing to let Jesus Christ be your King so that you can stand before him one day? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, to know that you want to dwell with us, the one who made all things and made us to be like you, it's so significant. At a time where you are dwelling with us, but yet you promise to dwell with those who love you and trust you one day, is something to look forward to and be excited to be there with you one day in your presence. But we thank you, Father, that you haven't left us alone and that you're just a distant God. That through Jesus, we have union with him as we trust your Son and his sacrifice for us and giving us new life. And we have his Spirit within us. And so as we do gather together and worship you as your people, your body, the body of Christ on earth, that we can treasure at these moments. And please do that in each of us, that we would be so delighted to come together and enjoy being with one another and worship you as your children. And that through doing that, that would just be a place each week that we can keep reminding one another of where we're heading and who we're serving now, so that we keep our focus right, keep our focus on you in every day, in every decision we make every day. And so that when we do falter, when we do sin, that we can come quickly back to God's ways and that we can remember your words for us, that we can heed your commands and live rightly. Thank you for your grace, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.